This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. I have with me
Emma Vandenberg.
Okay, so Emma, you talked about coming to New Zealand and the contrast between here and Holland.
Yeah.
You settled in Fielding and then you shifted.
Yeah, only after, I think we were only in Fielding about 18 months, and my sister, I wasn't married yet to Frank, so we didn't live together, and my sister and brother-in-law bought a business in Masterton. Mm. So then, yeah, we have to shift it with them because I couldn't stay behind. So we shifted to Masterton, and my Frank went and lived with a Dutch family, and I lived with my sister.
Now, but you came on the £10 scheme, so you were supposed to work for 2 years.
For 2 years.
You could switch from one job to another in that?
Only when you went to the police station.
Yeah.
And you had to get your book changed and get permission that you got permission automatically because I had a job to go to.
Oh, so you'd arranged another, your sister was going to move down to Masterton.
And I had to go with her because I was, as far as they were concerned, underage. I was only 19 still, you know.
Ah, because 21 was the
age
of maturity then. Okay,
In New Zealand,
Well, it was, I mean, voting age was 21 for a
while. Yeah, you couldn't go to the pub until you were 21.
Yes.
Well, that came in.
So they say. Yeah. Okay. So what sort of job did you move to?
In Masterton, I went. I had the hotel job, became a waitress
in Fielding
still, and then when I came to Masterton, I got a job at the hotel as a receptionist. Now, that was interesting.
And your English was better by then, I'll tell you.
Well, a little bit, because I'd been here a year, so it didn't take that long.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was a huge accent. Mm. And they made me do announcements as well, because everybody would listen.
Yes.
Everybody would shut up and listen, because there's this foreign bird again on the radio thing, you know.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
Now, you said the word foreign bird.
Well,
that was an expression for a girl. Or
a lot of women were called birds, I think they still are, aren't they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Sheilas. I mean, was Sheilas.
Well, Australia was Sheilas. I think America was chicks. But in England it was birds,
But I did work in the office. And I was good at not math, but just adding and subtracting.
Yeah.
Of course, I learned, by the way, all pounds, shillings, and pence.
Yes.
When I first
and then
arrived.
Decimalized.
And then you went back to as far as I was concerned, back to decimal.
Yeah.
And I did the wages. Mm. It was a trust hotel. And the trust hotel meant there was another hotel attached to the trust and a bottle store or whatever. So a lot of people, not just a small hotel.
Mm.
And they did wages and stuff as well. And I had to type menus, whatever. And I had to do the wages. And they used to put all those little envelopes on the on the desk.
The pay slips.
And pay all this money out. Because from the bank, you got the exact correct amount of £20, £2, whatever.
Yeah, well, the right notes and coins.
Exactly. Yeah. And the girls could always be annoyed. Because I did it in one go. And they said, but you must have a couple of pennies left over or a trippin' bit. So I said, no, I've done it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe that I could do it in one.
Mm. Yeah.
Always good at adding it. But anyway, And I made one beautiful mistake one day. Until this day, I had no idea. We had to type the menus for the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because the hotel had the dining room.
Yeah.
Not a restaurant, it was a dining room.
But
every day we had to type. And then one day they said, you can type, you do it. So
you'd learn touch typing?
Well, typing, everybody learned typing. Yeah. They all still had the telephone with these pull bits and plugging it in there. And then you had to call the people up. So I typed the menu up. And then the head waitress came flying out of the restaurant or out of the thing. And she said, read the menu. I said, yeah, what's wrong with that? She said, read it again. I said, what are you on about? And I had written, instead of French salad, I had written French lettuce.
French and letters.
Lettuce.
Or lettuce.
Lettuce, like lettuce. Salad, lettuce.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, French condoms were called French lettuce.
French letters, yes.
Yeah, well, lettuce, lettuce. I mean, French lettuce.
Yes, yes.
Didn't matter how you spell it,
oh,
it's
yeah,
how you
okay.
say it. And so they were absolutely shit. And then yeah. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah.
What a, I'd never heard yeah. of condoms in the first place, let alone a French letter. But I spelled letters as in salad, but,
yeah.
oh.
My sister went on from Britain, went on AFS to the Midwest in America, in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that would be the late 60s.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, in Britain, you call an eraser a rubber.
Yeah.
But in America, they call a condom is a rubber.
A rubber.
So she'd
yeah.
be sitting in class and ask one of the boys, can I borrow your rubber?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. So I soon learned yeah. not to do that.
Similar things
yes.
like that. The
yeah.
boys, the Dutch boys that came here would not go for a haircut. And it took them forever to work out what can you go, if you go to the hairdressers, the men hairdressing, yeah. what are you going to get? And they've learned they could ask for a trim.
Yes.
Because a haircut.
Yeah.
A cut was a lady's vagina.
Ah.
Let alone a hairy one. And I said, I'm not going. So, yeah, that was amazing. So did yeah. I have words that, you know.
Okay.
They
So they just grew hair longer and longer until they found out.
A lot of them, they would say, you've got to go and get a haircut. Oh, no, I can't go. Until they worked out, you could ask for a yeah. trim. I
yes.
want my hair shorter.
Not short back and sides.
Oh, short. It was,
yeah,
basically.
That was the standard. The same sister told me some years later, she thought boys and men's hair never grew long because she never saw men with long hair.
No.
But no, because it was all short back and sides.
Short back and sides, yeah. But yeah. if you're new and you don't know, and you just go for
yeah.
a haircut, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, some of the young Dutch boys, they said, can't ask for that.
Yeah.
And then it be a short back and sides where it was a trim or it's too long, make it shorter,
yeah.
you know. But
yeah.
they couldn't.
Oh,
yes. I tell you, there were quite a few words like that
yeah,
in our language are perfectly normal, you know.
Yeah.
Girls' names are cock or cocky.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And they said, you can't do that. What's your name, cock?
Yeah.
yeah. But that's...
So was there much of a Dutch community here?
I've never been one, yes. My sister had lots of friends, couples, and mainly Dutchies. And I inherited them because I was there. So in the beginning, a lot of my friends were their friends. They were all 10 years older than me, roughly, you know.
Yeah.
But... never really been one to go to a Dutch club or Dutch society.
Yeah.
I became, when we came from Maastricht to Palmerston, I became a bit more involved here with a few Dutchies. Because they said, you know, can you not, won't you come and do things? So eventually I did.
Okay.
But Frank came to New Zealand, to Palmerston North. He bought a commercial cleaning firm. Oh, for goodness sakes, what a job that was.
Yeah.
And so I had to sell the house in Masterton because he had to go straight away to Palmerston North. So then I sold the house in Masterton, came here. And then I said, I want babies, didn't I? Because we hadn't long been married.
Yeah.
We were supposed to wait 2 years.
Supposed to?
Well, we discussed it, husband
you
and wife.
Yeah.
We'll wait 2 years before we start a family. I said, but by the time I have the baby, we will have been married 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
So I got my way.
yeah.
And had a son, and then I had a daughter. And lived here somewhere in Highbury. And then we went to Fitzherbert Avenue. And when the children grew up a bit... We went into insurance, both of us. Frank got rid of the commercial cleaning business, thank God, because that was hard work.
Yeah.
7 days a week, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, always.
Yeah.
We've always done stuff. Did you have to work weekends, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we went into insurance. We shifted to Fitzherbert Avenue, nice house on Fitzherbert Avenue. And we lived there for 33 years. And yeah, I don't know how much you want to know, but we were there not all that long. But then, of course, the children grew up, and then the children started having children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And my eldest daughter got a child, got married, then had another child, in that order.
Yeah.
But having the child, I never forgotten it. The child in January, on February, she said, I'm getting married in March. It's always my birthday gone again.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, that was a complete disaster. 2 years and a bit. We ended up with two grandchildren on the front doorstep.
Sorry.
And they never left.
Yeah.
So then I gave up the insurance to stay home, bring up the children. But I can't just stay home and do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, bringing up two kids is not nothing, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Income all of a sudden stopped. All the savings were gone. So we started a restaurant.
So the house you were in is what became Emma's Place?
That house became Emma's Place, yeah.
Okay.
It was a big house, 5 bedrooms, you know, huge house. It was 6 bedrooms, I think, even.
So was it just a restaurant or accommodation as well?
No, I had accommodation. I started off, because the house was so big.
Mm.
Somebody asked me, listen, I've got a couple of girls coming to work for me. And they lived in Ohakuni somewhere, up there that way. You couldn't take them in for six months. I said, yeah, why not? Plenty of room in the house. So they came. And so, actually, how it started to have a boarder or two. And then we got the children, got somebody else, got the children. And so we bought the house at the backyard. Was bought another house, so we filled that. We had Dutch students.
You moved the house in, you mean?
No, we bought another house in the back.
That was already there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it was actually in a different street, but it backed onto our garden.
Okay. Yeah.
So there were no fences anymore, so that house became ours, and that house became ours.
Yeah.
And we got students, a lot of students from the Netherlands, admittingly.
Okay.
But Germany, anywhere in the world, you name it.
Foreign students coming to Massey University.
And of course Fitzherbert Avenue was on the doorstep
right
of Massey.
There, yes, yeah, very handy.
And so we had, for years we did that. And
could you speak German as well?
No.
No, okay.
I tried and I automatically translated it back in English.
Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah.
But I could not anymore because it went from, you had to listen to the German, translate it into Dutch, then translate it back into German, and it came out in English.
Okay. So was the German and Dutch were quite different? Or a lot
Some of it is similar, but it isn't. It's different language,
okay.
And we had students from all over the place. France, Italy, Spain.
Okay.
Mainly
overseas students, yeah.
That came. Yeah. Then I only wanted students, because the students would only stay for a couple of months, 3 months.
Yeah.
And then new students would come.
Yeah.
Because borders are borders. You're stuck with them, you know. We had one or two permanent ones that lived in New Zealanders.
Yeah.
But then when we got the children, I couldn't go to work, but I needed to do something. So friends of ours actually said, we're always at your place.
Yeah.
For coffee, you should charge us for coffee. I said, don't be ridiculous. Yeah. But I was never home alone.
Yeah. When you say for coffee, you mentioned about coffee being different here than Holland.
Oh, that's a long time ago. When we first came to New Zealand, there was no coffee.
So, but is it instant coffee or percolated
chicory? No, in Holland we had coffee beans.
Yeah.
And
so when you were doing coffee here, were you...
Oh, I was just doing normal everyday coffee and I had a big coffee pot and whatever. Yeah. I used to do all the coffee for the staff. When we had commercial cleaning, we had 15 staff as well or more.
Yeah.
So I used to do morning teas for them as well.
Yeah.
In our other house still. but when we... skipping a bit, actually, from when the kids were growing up.
Okay.
To Fitzherbert Avenue. And getting the second lot of kids. So they said, why don't you... I said, actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I tried to make it... Yeah, a bit of a restaurant. Coffee bar come restaurant.
Yeah. Now, I recall, Frank would be sort of front of house type of thing, and he was quite a character in that role, wasn't he? And you
totally
were in the back doing all the cooking. Yeah,
I did the cooking. And I had a couple of girls helping me with, because I did all the vegetables. We had to do the rooms as well, you know.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of girls to help me. And then Frank started in the... God, he was a character. Always laughing.
Yes.
Always laughing. And one day, because the place was big. Anyway, one day some woman had put her baby on the ground, mm-hmm. right? As you do.
Yeah.
And Frank's got his hands full of plates of dinner. Well, he didn't see the baby. He nearly stood on it.
Yeah.
And Frank let out an explicit from, what the hell do you think you're doing? And the woman said, what the f- can't you see? Can you imagine, you know, the backwards? Because everybody got a fright. So that was one thing. But also, there was a woman that used to come in and she had enormous boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And she wore a very low décolleté. That if you had to come and ask her, what would you like for dinner?
Yeah.
As a man, you're standing there, what can you see? You look straight down.
Yeah.
So Frank started kneeling at the tables. So at least he was eyeball to eyeball. He didn't have to look at her boobs or the... Not that he minded, mind you.
Yeah.
And that became a thing. He did it. Old ladies, young people, and he said, madam. And he... on his knees in front of them. And they go, oh, my God. You know. But it started because this woman with her low décolleté, honestly, it was embarrassing for everybody.
Yes.
You can't. It's all we were saying, what would you like to eat? I mean...
This is actually an interesting cultural change. I do remember, would have been probably the 1980s when a woman staff member at the you know, for some reason in the conversation, in a coffee break or whatever, and they were just saying, yes, what men like cleavage. Now, you don't hear the word cleavage these days.
No,
the,
not
the
much.
Women used to wear clothes to emphasise.
But now they still do, darling. And now...
Well, I just don't notice them anymore. Yeah,
but you're getting
cleavage,
old as well.
They emphasise cleavage.
Ladies,
there's more navels these days.
Oh, yeah, there too. Bombs are hanging out.
Yeah.
But even you'll find advertisements for women to bring their boobs up and squeeze them together so they've got a cleavage.
Yeah.
That is, and you see it everywhere. Well, it's gone a bit now, but...
Yeah.
Because men still like them. Uh-huh. Women like
now, men aren't supposed to notice these days.
There's all these crazy people that you're not allowed to be a boy either anymore.
Yeah,
you can be what you like. Yeah, hello. There's two sexes, him and her, and that's it.
And anything about many genders,
Well, no, don't ask me about that because I don't have time for that.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
The perception.
I can't be bothered.
Well, I was surprised because it suddenly came through the bit without any debate. We suddenly got census papers with the question, so what was your sex assigned at birth and what is your current gender?
Yeah.
I thought, we never discuss whether we're going to see things that way.
No, of course not. No, but any paper, are you male, female or other?
Yeah.
I'm dying to put in other. One day, you know. And then they might come and ask, so what are you? I said, well, whatever you want me to be. But that is just also one of these crazy things.
Yeah, how long it will last, I don't know. But how many people decide they'll go through surgery?
Hey, listen, you've got to be careful what you say now. But it's becoming, because you're recording this, but it's becoming crazier by the day.
Hmm.
And now I heard that this is a school... It is going to be all inclusive, so there's going to be rainbow things all over the place that the children, they're giving all these kids the ideas that it doesn't matter, and you know what, I don't know about yourself, but when you're young, you become a bit rebellious. And now they're going to say, it's okay, darling, you can be rebellious. Do you want to be a girl? That's fine.
Yeah. The trouble with a lot of these rebellions is that it means that everybody's rebelling, which is the new convention. There was in Britain some time ago, there was an American sort of pop group manager.
Yeah.
He brought his group over to Britain to perform, and they were their alternative look included a particular type, I think, leather jacket or something.
Yeah.
And so this is that you're rebelling by wearing this, and it was the manager, middle-aged manager's idea. This is the image you present. and he went to sort of saw them at the concerts, all the fans going to the concerts wearing those jackets, thinking they're being alternative. And he said, I made you wear those jackets.
Yeah. And there's money in them, there, Hills. I mean, it's the same absolutely. That idiot that makes up, brings up a brand new religion. Yeah. People will go for it.
Yeah.
They will go for it, yeah. But I always been a little bit straightforward, a little bit outspoken, and then you know where you are.
Well, yeah, and you're known for being outspoken. Now, one thing we haven't talked, because you mentioned the Holland and the Dutch and so on. Yeah. Foxton has emphasised now, it's Dutch, well, I don't know if it's Dutch origins, but there's the windmill and the various Dutch... Are there historic Dutch connections there? Is there an established Dutch community? Is that
the Dutch community? Because there was a Dutch community, and even I helped with it. There are heaps and heaps of Dutchies, but because you can't see them, because we're the same colour as anybody else, and if we don't speak, you can't hear our accent, so you don't, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't have an accent.
Yeah.
That windmill.
Yeah.
Came from Holland. The stones and everything were brought, the mill stones were brought from Holland, and as the Dutch people, admittingly also the Kiwis, of course, that collected all the money for that.
Yeah.
And had it built. So that's why it's called de Molen, which is Dutch for the mill, same thing. And they actually grind grain, and you can buy the flour.
Yeah, whole grain. Yeah, with whole the grain. Wheat germ and everything. Yeah. Yes,
everything.
Very good. Yeah,
it's a working mill.
Yes,
it's not just an ornament.
I think, if I recall correctly, it's something like an exact replica of a 1600s design, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, it's a proper, proper working mill, not just a pretty thing to look at.
It's very good.
It is. I find that amazing, and that they did that.
And that's because a lot of Dutch came and settled in Foxton.
A lot of Dutch settled in Foxton, Palmerston
North.
Doing
what? Were they doing the
flax? A lot of farmers and a lot of chicken farmers, I'm led to believe. Turks.
Oh, Turks is Dutch.
Turk was a Dutchman.
Okay.
Vertigen, Vertongen.
Yes.
Vertigen.
Yes.
I don't know if they were chicken farmers, whatever they did. But a lot of farm people came out.
Yep.
And here is New Zealand. It's nothing but land.
Yes, yeah.
Nothing but land.
Yeah.
We don't have land.
Yeah.
Well, there is land. There's still heaps of it, amazingly.
So they all came out and started reclaiming land from the sea.
Yeah, we could claim our own. Yeah. But, you know, the land here, it costs nothing.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say. If you go somewhere out of town, you can still buy quite a few acres for a few $100,000, you know.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a section in the middle of town because you pay through the nose. But you can still, if it's an established farm, it's going to cost you. But if you're willing to put the time in, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I was a city girl. I didn't. Yeah. I never even checked with other people where they came from and what did they do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my neighbour was actually a jeweller.
Okay.
Yeah. And was
your neighbour here?
Here, the neighbour, yeah. And he came to New Zealand, also as an immigrant, but he had with him a contract, because he was a jeweler designer.
Yeah.
He brought with him a contract from his parents or uncle that he had to design X amount of pieces a year, and he got paid.
Okay.
So he...
For back in Holland?
For back in Holland, yeah.
Okay.
The designs were being paid for, and he had a contract to do that for X amount of time. But even so, coming to New Zealand, he too had to work where you're told.
Mm.
And a lot of people came to New Zealand, to Palmerston North and areas and districts where they got jobs or they were told where to work. A lot of Dutchies were put on farms.
Okay.
If you didn't have a job, you were told where to work.
Yes.
So, whatever, you went to a farm at Paiatua, Ekatahuna, Palmerston North, Linton, wherever.
Yeah.
And eventually the Dutchies either took over the farm because they worked it.
Yeah, I was going to... So, now, do you see identifiable, as a generalisation, Dutch characteristics compared to Kiwis?
They're rather outspoken.
Yeah,
you can tell
that's one.
And they really are a little bit outspoken. they've got a certain stance. I know this sounds crazy. I can see a man walking sometimes from the back. I said, that's a Dutchman.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is. And they're all that little bit taller. Taller than the average. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the population density. They've got to grow up in the state of that.
They seated them too close together, they say. Yeah. They are. Yeah. They are a tall variety of humans, yeah. But no, hard working. I'm sorry, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
And if there is no work, we'll make work. Yeah. We'll find it. We'll do it.
Yes.
We'll find something to do with this.
Yeah. Are they argumentative?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, we argue.
They have firm views on things? Or?
Yeah. Ready? I would be ready and willing to change my mind if you come up with a decent debate. If you can change my mind, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I need to not just, oh, well, if that's what you think, okay, that's what I... No.
Yeah.
I think that because, not just for the sake, but I've worked it out, you know.
So is debate common among Dutch then?
Well, call it debate, call it an argument, call it what you like.
They're like, you know, it's like politics where they'll just discuss things, they'll bounce ideas around a lot? Or?
Well, I was too young for that.
Yeah.
Because I was told who to vote for. Basically, and then in Holland I never voted.
Yeah.
And I came to New Zealand and you pick a side. It's like a soccer game.
Yeah.
You pick a field, you pick a team and you stick with it.
Okay.
For good or bad. And what have we had in New Zealand? We go from one to the other, from one to the other. Yeah. And, you know, and for that matter, not once, and that is very selfish, that I can remember that it affected me, bidet. What have we got? We've got Labour or National. Personally, I've never been without a job.
Yeah.
I've never been without food. I've always managed to find food, make things, do things. It's never affected me personally, whoever is on the top.
Yeah.
Because I've always done my own thing.
This is part 2 of 3. Listen next week for part 3.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.